You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey continue with Family Life Cycle.
The goal, you know, as you launch children, or should I say even those latter years of being a teenager in the family, your goal is not merely to just correct them and keep them from getting pregnant and make them help them graduate from high school, even though those are big goals. Yeah, those are big goals. It's unfortunate, especially for the African American demographic. Those are real issues that many of our children face with. You know, trying to keep them from being sexually promiscuous, having children beforehand, becoming illegitimate parents. Notice I didn't say illegitimate children. Society calls it illegitimate children. Children didn't do anything. Okay? We want to ideally keep you from becoming illegitimate parents or parents prematurely. The goal is to cause them to be functional, disciplined, balanced, sound-thinking young adults who are able to function and make day-to-day decisions ideally independent of their parents. And notice I said day-to-day choices, those day-to-day decisions that they may have to make. I'm not saying that, you know, they call you, figure it out on your own. I figure it out on my own. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, but operate day-to-day that they don't need you for everything in their lives. Because, unfortunately, nobody likes to think about it, but there'll come a time you may not be here. And, you know, in my situation, that occurred very, very early, you know, very early. My mother died when I was 20, I think a junior in high school. My father then died about 4 years later. Okay. I had just been married maybe a year when my father. So I was a young adult orphan. Okay. I didn't have my parents there to talk to and balance things off. Thank God I did have someone. But during this launching stage, your children either going off to college, military. Some of them don't want to leave home. Some of them we find today is a big, we were talking about this last night with our daughter. Some of them are going out and then coming back. Okay. But remember not B.C., but Dr. Huxtable. We don't mention that B.C. no more. But Dr. Huxtable said, remember Dr. Huxtable? Dr. Huxtable said, remember the plan. Y'all remember that? Remember the plan. The plan is to get them up and get them out. Because I think it was Vanessa. No, it was Denise. Denise, all of a sudden, one of them, Denise came back. Yeah, y'all, you don't remember, huh? Yeah, Denise came back married. Just came home married and introduced him to her new husband. And he was moving in. And Claire was like, okay, well, all right. He said, remember the plan. The plan. The plan is to get them up and get them out, not to have them come back, ideally with bringing other people with them. But sometimes things happen, right? Things happen. And then, you know, there can be, during this time, you can be what I call helicopter parents. Well, not what I call, what has been termed helicopter parents. The helicopter parents are those who are always flying over, never wanting them to be independent, always spying on them, like the paparazzi, you know, and won't allow them to become independent, okay? And so I said we're going to back up a little bit because this is Daniel is our youngest son, and he's probably launched the furthest away from everybody. Interesting, I think he went to college the closest.
Yep.
Sure. Went to college the closest, and then he went from there, and he launched across the ocean to Europe.
Yeah.
Interesting thing enough, I'm going to share this story. I didn't tell him I'm going to talk about this, but I'm wanting to talk about it. We had just taken him off to college. He was at Queens University in Charlotte. And I had a meeting up there. I think I was meeting with the architects or something. I was meeting with the architects. and I was in Charlotte. It was during the day, wasn't at night, and it wasn't a Friday night or nothing like that. You know, you don't know what your kid's going to be doing on college Friday night. It's a weekday during the day. So you either at class, in the calf, or in your room, right?
Right.
College students saying no. Yes. I mean, what else can you be doing? It's during the day. I don't know, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, during the day, sunlight. Either at class, in the calf, in his case, maybe have an early practice or something, or in your room. So I decided to surprise him. And I went, and how long had you been on campus? A
couple months, maybe.
I don't even think it was that long.
That's 2-3 months?
Well, the semester's only about 3 months. I'm thinking he's maybe on campus maybe about a month.
Yeah, about a month.
Okay. And so I decided to stop by, and I knocked on the door, and he answered the door and said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" I said, I was in the area for a meeting. Decided, you can't just come by here. What are you doing? Which made me think, what are you doing? So, as a young man, young lady launching off to college, what's the problem, Daniel?
Oh, wow.
What's the problem with parents just showing up?
Y'all see how you set me up, right? That's not cool. But there's no problem showing up, but I felt, you know, going to college, I'm still close to home. I wanted a sense of independence, you know? So, you know, I feel like my dorm room is my first place that I own, technically. That's my little apartment, you know, even though I had a little roommate, little room. So I felt like if he's coming to Charlotte in the area, then he should call me and say, you know, "Hey, son, how you doing? I'm in Charlotte. Are you busy? If not, then, you know, we can grab some lunch or something," you know. I felt of that nature.
My thinking is that he was going to be pleasantly surprised and say, "Hey, Dad, glad to see you." But it wasn't quite like that. Like I said, I went to college. I mean, I didn't. If it was Friday night, I wouldn't do that. It was at night, wouldn't even do it. But I just figured lunch during the daytime. But again, they want to have that sense of independence. They want to feel that you're trusting them. But interesting enough, we just happened to be flipping through the channels the other day, and I was watching Steve Harvey's show. And Steve Harvey's show had a mother on there, mother who's raised at least one of the daughters. It seemed like two really well-balanced young ladies. And I'm assuming they may have been from Chicago, because that's where his show was recorded. And the daughter was going off to college. She's always been an honor roll student. She's going off to college. Very well-mannered, very well-spoken. Seemed like she handles herself well. And the mother was telling Steve, we watched it, the mother was telling Steve, "Well, I'm just concerned. She's moving all the way to New York." She says, "And I'm thinking about moving to New York." She said, "I'm thinking about..." She said, Steve said, "Why are you going to go to New York?" She said, "Because they got rats this big there, big as cats. And you know, concerned about sex and men and her being safe and all these things." And she also had been calling the college already. Now, watch it. She said, "Has she had any classes yet?" "No, but she's already calling the college. She's calling security. She wants all the professors, everybody know who she is." And Steve said, "What they're going to do is end up not allowing your daughter to come there because her mama crazy." Okay. But really, she was at the other extreme.
Right.
She was at the other extreme. But you really have to be able to rest in the fact that during those teenage years, and you bring them up, you have put in them what you need to put in them.
Yeah.
Ideally, this is not the first time that they are even away from home for, you know,
a
period of time, that maybe you've allowed them to have a sleepover with somebody or go to a camp or something. Because a lot of times, it's not the child that's the problem, it's the parent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the problem, with all this worry, with all this fear. So, Daniel, you know, when you went off, first of all, we're going to talk about going off to Germany in a minute. But when you went off to college, did you feel like you were adequately prepared?
Yeah, I felt pretty prepared as far as Because all my life, you know, I wanted to play basketball. So most of my decision I made growing up had basketball in mind, because I think maybe my eighth grade year, I got in trouble in school, and my punishment was you couldn't go to a basketball tournament. You know, that's the worst punishment you can give me. I can't play basketball. So, you know, from that point on.
Why'd you do that, Pastor?
Why'd you do that, Pastor Marshall? You know the basketball
let me go on
part
the record. Let me go on record. I did not do that.
I don't recall this, but anyway, go ahead.
I would never do that.
So from that point on, you know, and I went to college to play basketball. So as far as making the class on time, it was punishment for basketball. So I pretty much made sure I made the class on time. I did have that one semester, that first semester.
Yeah.
My attendance was a little bit shaky, you know, but I felt prepared off the court. So before the class, and financially, I also felt prepared.
Well, talk about being prepared financially. How are you financially prepared?
I had an allowance growing up. And when I ran out of that allowance, there was no more. And that's Pastor Bailey right there. You know, that was, he made sure that mom didn't give us any more when we ran out. So, and when I was in college, I got allowance as well. So I had to learn to budget my money. So anything I needed grocery-wise or clothes, sneakers I wanted, I had to budget and make sure I didn't use it all before I could have something for something else that I wanted. So
We were talking about, I watched this thing, this special a couple weeks ago, something about talking about the these shoes. Well, young people today, y'all call them shoes. We call them sneakers coming up. To me, shoes were shoes or sneakers were sneakers, but now they call sneakers shoes. Anyway, they were talking about the whole shoe culture, mm-hmm. about, you know, shoes from a couple hundred dollars up to $1,000 or more, these special sneakers and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, he loves sneakers coming up. He loves sneakers.
Yeah.
And maybe his mom bought him a few.
Daniel was resourceful. Tyler, they sold to shirts and
they had
little
side
soap.
Hustles. They
remember the soaps?
Selling soap and what else y'all sell?
Black soap, sneaker. They even sold sneakers at one time. Knockoffs.
But one of the main things I remember about Daniel's always been good. I told you he always had an interest in money very young. I told y'all for that reason he was our first trustee. Okay, he was one of our first trustees. He would help count the money. I mean, he was, how old were you when you were helping count the money?
About 6 or 7.
Huh? Six or seven, okay? But we didn't have a whole lot then anyway, so he could. Counting the offer took about 15 minutes. Now it takes them several hours sometimes. But, you know, and he used to help our first trustee count the money and all that. But he was always very resourceful with money. And so, but let me talk a little bit about this allowance thing. I know a lot of parents don't do it. It's something that I did, and I practiced. We practiced. I mean, how old were you when you got your first dog getting allowance?
We used to get a dollar, and we got to go to the dollar store at the end of the week to buy something with that dollar.
Yeah, when they were very young, they got a dollar, and then they could go to the dollar store, and they could buy a toy at the dollar store. Then I increased it as they got older, but that was their money for the week. That was it. They couldn't come ask for anything else. I mean, with the exception of something, you know, for school or something that was just, you know, that was beyond a child's responsibility.
Right. Right.
But in terms of their little wants and desires, we gave them allowance, and that was it. But what it did, it taught all of our children how to budget money. What I got to say about this shoe sneaker thing is that, you know, Daniel was always having shoes delivered to the house.
Always.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he was always having, and, you know, here it's UPS man, FedEx man, and I'm like, what I order? You know, you get excited, think you got something coming, you know, past my, and it was, that's mine. And he would save his money and get the sneakers that he wanted. So his sneakers, didn't become a big burden on us, didn't become a source of strife. He got his allowance, and he saved it to get his sneakers. If that's what he wanted to do with it. So I think it's real important in preparing your children to launch, to help them while they're at home to be financially responsible, which means you got to be financially responsible because you can't teach what you don't know.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so that's one of the things I did. One of the other things I did, and I was helping them. They didn't even know I was helping them. And that is I had particular credit cards, and I made them authorized users on my credit card. Some of them had the credit cards. Some of them didn't have the credit cards. For the most part, I could give them all the credit card and tell them, don't use it unless you call me. One of my children had a problem with that. He would use it, and then I would get the bill, and then I would see it. And that went on a couple of times, and then that was the end of that. He didn't have the credit card. But I would give them credit cards. And what that did, provided your credit is good, provided you're managing your money, your credit wisely, now that helps build their credit.
Right.
So by the time each of them, I think pretty much each of them, I helped them get a car or help them get a car, bought them a car, usually by the time they left college, in their name, and they were able to finance it because I had already helped them build up their credit. So by the time most of them, by the time that they graduated from college, even undergraduate, they had credit scores well into the 700s. But I help them do that. Right. Now, you can either help your children before they launch, or you can keep them from launching by practicing what I call ghetto economics. Ghetto economics is doing stuff like messing up your children's credit by you getting credit cards in their name and then you not paying the bills. Don't you raise your hand if you practice ghetto economics.
Right.
Okay? I know that stuff has happened. I've had young people come to me, even in our church, talk to me about it. That their credit had gotten messed up because their parents had credit in their name or credit cards in their name and basically messed them. So rather than being able to start, now they're trying to play catch up. And so my thing to you parents regarding financially, if you can't help, definitely don't hinder.
Right.
Amen? Right. Can't help, yeah. Definitely don't hinder. So I know that's one thing I really tried to have my have each of my children adequately prepared to launch into adulthood by teaching them financial management skills and doing that very early. And that's the main purpose of an allowance.
Right.
Purpose of an allowance is not to spoil your kids because you have money, but it's to teach them to manage money that they have, whether they get it on a weekly basis or biweekly right. basis or whatever. And in my case, with each of them, I had an account that was joint with them that was linked to my account. And I could just transfer money into it. And most of the time I had it on automatic, so they knew every Friday or whatever they were going to get this money. And for the most part, they didn't bother me. Right. They didn't bother me because they learned financial stewardship that way.
I just want to add one thing regarding the allowance. You know, kids talk and they hear what other kids are getting. And just stay focused on what you're able to do. And don't get in condemnation because you can't do more. And don't feel bad because you cannot do more. I mean, there's some kids out there sometimes have ridiculous allowance. And you're not at that place. It does not mean you're not providing for your child. It does not mean you don't love your child. It does not mean you don't care about your child. This is what you have. So have a conversation with your children and let them know this is your allowance. This is what we can do. You know, and don't feel bad about that. You're still helping them to manage their money. So sometimes you hear different things and you feel like, oh, man, I can't provide that with my child. And you start feeling condemned. You are in your season. Work your season. And be okay in your season, y'all.
Now, I kind of mentioned earlier, but some problems. What are some problems that many times that come up in this launching phase? Whether it's particularly, how many of you have children who are either in college, just getting ready to go to college, or you put children through college? Okay? So a sizable number of us here. One of the problems, as I said earlier, is the helicopter parents. The helicopter parents are the parents who do everything for the children and never want the children to do anything for themselves and then hang over their children. I remember going to college and there were particularly, usually it was boys, who could not wash clothes, for example. And they told me, I don't have no clothes. I'm like, well, go and wash the clothes. Well, man, I ain't going home. I didn't go home this weekend. And so can't wash clothes unless they go home and then mama wash the clothes. That's a problem. Okay? That's a problem because, and even if they get, quote-unquote, a wife who may have those kind of traditional responsibilities that she takes upon themselves to do that, well, it may be a while before they get married. Okay? They need to know how to do those kind of things themselves. They need to know how to just be able to function day-to-day by themselves. Okay? Financially, just domestically, shopping, groceries, all those kind of things. I know you don't think about it, because so many times we're just putting fires out, especially during those teenage years. But those are years you have to start thinking. When that child, I mean, and really, really think, when that child hits junior high and at best high school, you really got to be thinking, okay, man, I got to, my job now is to get them ready to be able to function without me telling them everything to do. Okay, my Pastor Marcia, she was a real good mom and all kind of, and sometimes we used to get into a little bit because I thought she would get overboard. She would wake the kids up, and I would tell them, you stop waking them up. They got to wake up by themselves, you know, because when you go to college, ain't nobody waking you up. Right. Am I right? You know, and nobody's waking you up. You got to wake up by yourself. He learned that by the second semester. Okay, you know, you got to be able to function day to day by yourself. So you have helicopter parents that these are parents who calling up the coaches on a college level, telling them, I want my child to be playing more. Okay, getting in the coaches' faces, and this is not little league, y'all. It's not rec league. Is what I call many times coaching from the sidelines. I believe if you have the right kind of relationships, you can talk to them and give them counsel or advice about how to deal with this with a professor, how to deal with this with a coach, how to deal with this, you know, they got an issue at the bank or whatever, but you can't do everything for them. Otherwise, they'll never be functional. And then one of the other problems is that you have a lot of parents who have separation anxiety. Parents, they depress. And they feel like they have no purpose because my child is gone, you know. And where you ought to be able to rejoice and be exceedingly glad because great is your reward, okay. But really sometimes there's separation anxiety that goes on with parents, okay. You know, they're worried about. And I'll be honest, I was real good with my boys. I had to get myself together with my daughter. I really did. I was like, you know, my boys, they all went off. Cool, you know. My daughter, and by then, now I'm in a full swing of Facebook like never before. Okay, so, you know, and then young people today, I followed her on Facebook. I followed her on everything. I almost wish I didn't.
I had a problem with Facebook.
Okay.
Because he would see things on Facebook. He'll come in the room. Do you see such and such? Do you see such and such? I refuse to kind of go on there and look sometime.
Because it was her fault. If she had got on the mall, she wouldn't have worn that little coochie thing she had on.
I got blamed. I'm like, but I just refuse. Because it could stress you out.
You know, you see your kids at parties with red cups.
What's in the cup?
Like, What's in the cup?
I'm not there.
Okay. I know you young people, y'all ain't thinking about that.
I'm not there.
But the parents see that and they're like, what's in the cup?
All the young people, stay away from red cups. Stay away from them. Cause problems.
And so I really, you know, I was worried about my daughter. I really was. One of the main things that was my hope or that was a comfort for me is I knew she was an athlete. And because she was an athlete, you know, she had to, there's certain things she had to do. She had to be where she had to be. I knew she had to be disciplined. And so that was some help. That was some help. But I did. I had to calm myself down. I had to resolve that whatever she's doing, the blood still works. Amen. Because you can't, please, Lord, don't let my children be sinning. They probably are, but the blood still works. The blood still works. Amen.
Amen.
Just pray for them because when you went to college, you sinned too. Uh-huh. And look at you, but God protected you and he brought you out.
Amen.
Amen. With the victory. Amen. Amen. And you got you just plead the blood. You know that you put the word in them and you believe with all your heart they ain't going too far.
Every family will go through stages in life. You may be the single adult trying to find your way or a young family raising small children. Maybe you've already lost your kids into adulthood and now you're enjoying the retired years. You have to understand and know how to navigate whatever season you're in. Doctors Herbert and Marcia Bailey and their guests will help you to appreciate and manage each stage of your family's life. Order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Family Life Cycle. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.